Our Christian faith says that humanity, and that includes you and me, that we have one big problem: sin. And by sin, our Christian faith means all the unloved that rules our lives, all the maniacal selfishness and self-centered ways of living that multiply ultimately into violence and destruction and then cascade through the human experience again and again and again. Our Christian faith says that the reality of sin is something beyond our power to change. We can try as hard as we like, but it's something that we're trapped on the inside of, like a burning house that we can't escape from. And so our faith says God took care of it for us. He sent his son into the world, Jesus, to die for us so that we could be born to love. And through the death and resurrection of Jesus, God rescued us from all the maniacal selfishness and self-centered ways of living. Not by removing us from it, because we're still in the world, but by giving us power to live and love like God does in the midst of it all. So in the biggest sense, God has already blessed the child, you, and me, even before life begins, in essence, for us. God has blessed us in what matters most. Now, salvation in the Bible means rescue, the rescue. To save someone is to rescue them, and to rescue them is to save them. Someone's trapped in a burning house, and you rush in and you pull them out, you've rescued them from the burning fire. You've saved them from death. It's a simple concept in the Scriptures. And the Bible says we're all today living in a burning house, whether we realize it or not. If you live in this world, you're living in a burning house, a house burning in the fire of selfishness and self-interest that multiplies into enormous waves of fiery violence and destruction. And if you don't believe me, you just have to turn on to the news and see what's going on in the world. Jesus was sent to rescue us from this burning house. He pulls us out of the fire. He's pulled you and me out of the fire, even though he dies doing it. He rescues us so that we can live free and live for love. Now, the call of the gospel message isn't done in our rescue. That's step one. We're rescued from the fire. The call in step two is this, that we join with Jesus to be spiritual firefighters. Jesus calls us to join him today in rescuing the world from the fire, a fire consumed by hatred and indifference. Our job is to pull people out of the fire of hatred and indifference and put them into the place of love. Bring them from unloved to love. That's what we've been called to join the Lord in doing. What we say when we say God's hands, us. Those are rescuing, saving, helping hands. Billie Holiday, in her autobiography, said that the inspiration for the song God Bless the Child came from an argument she had with her mother. It always goes back to mom, doesn't it? Holiday had asked for a loan from her mother, Sadie, and when her mother refused, Holiday cried out, "God bless the child that's got its own." What did Holiday mean by these words? And are we to take them seriously? Because not all songs are meant to be taken seriously. Their song can give you an emotional feel in the moment, but it's not meant to be a sort of prescription for life. The song, God Bless the Child, begins with a reference to the Bible. It's a reference to the parable of the talents that's found in the Gospel of Matthew and in the Gospel of Luke. Some of you know the parable of the talents, but for those of you forgotten, I'll give you a quick overview of it. The parable tells of a master who's leaving his house to travel, and before leaving, he sells everything and entrusts all his property to his servants. And according to the abilities of each servant, one received 5 talents, the second received 2 talents, and the third received 1 talent. A talent was about 100 pounds of gold in the ancient world, which today is about $2.5 million. So it's an estate of $20 million. And one servant got about 12.5 million, the other one got 5 million, and the other got 2.5 million to take care of. We call that diversification. Upon returning home after a long absence, the master asks his three servants to account for the talents he's entrusted to them. The first and second servant explained that they put their talents to work and they were able to double the amounts, 5 to 10, 2 to 4. And because of this, each servant was promoted into a role of significant responsibility. But the third servant had merely hidden the talent into the ground. They were afraid of the master. And they were afraid of losing the gift, the responsibility of taking care of the money. And so they just hid it away. And when the master found out that this person had just given them back the same that he'd given them, the one talent, he had them fired, thrown into jail even. And the parable ends with this line, "For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance, and whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." And thus we get those first words of the psalm. Them that's got shall have, and them that's not shall lose. So the Bible said, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got its own, that's got its own. Do you hear a lingering disappointment of a young adult daughter who turns to her parents for help in those lyrics and hears a response, no? Do you hear that? I think I do. And if that is the case, this kind of disappointment in life is pretty universal. We all experience the disappointment of people saying no to us. How many times in life have we turned to someone we trusted in need and had them say, in one form or another, no? I mean, if you can't turn in life to your parents for help, if you can't turn to someone in your family for help, like a brother or a sister, if you can't turn to close friends or good neighbors for help, then who can you turn to in life? And there seems to be a certain kind of lament in this song, at least to my ears, about how the world works, it seems. You know, the world of sin, the world of unlove, the world where self-interest has gone crazy, and where the strong get stronger and the weak get weaker. Those who have resources get more resources, and those who have less resources lose even the resources they have, especially in a world today ruled by money. In that world, it's a good thing to have money, isn't it? Money is resources. You got no money, you got no resources. You have money, you have resources. And you don't have to rely on anyone or trust anyone in your hour of need. With no resources, it means you're going to have to go out and trust people who are inevitably going to let you down. Now, the question is, does any of this have anything to do with God? Does God operate the same way the world does? Does the God that we've come to celebrate and lift up, that was active in Jesus, work the same way the world does? Especially in the more, what I might call, not mundane, but the more average things that we struggle with. Paying bills, you know, trying to have some kind of circle of friends and support, dealing with the kind of little emergencies we deal with, like sound not working on live stream. Does that interest God? Does God work the same way the world does in those kinds of circumstances? And Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke that Doug read that not really. God's way of working in the world and the way the world works, very different. So that means we can't use our experience in the world as an analogy for understanding how God works in our lives or how God works in the world or in people's of the lives of people that live far away from us. And Jesus says, here's what I got to say about this. Ask and you will receive. You'll get. Ask God and you'll receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will open for you. Now, in the world, our experience often is that when we ask, we don't receive. like just like Billie Holiday asked her parents for a loan and she got a no. We experience that all the time in life. And in the world, we seek, but we don't find because everybody's hoarding their stuff. Everybody's really closed down on what they want in life. We don't want to share what we have. Sally and I experienced this yesterday when we went up to Bruce Peninsula. We found this beautiful little back road, and there's all these little cottages along there. And when we drove by, people were staring at us like saying, we don't want you here. We like our own little spot, and we don't want to share it with anybody. We're all protecting our stuff so hard. And in the world, often the doors get knocked on, but they stay closed because of fear. We don't want to open our door. When someone knocks on my door today, I get worried. That's my first, I get worried. Who's at the door? What do they want from me? What risk is it in opening the door to them? Sometimes people won't even open the door when it gets knocked on. In God's kingdom of love, ask and you will receive. That's the promise. Seek and you will find. That is the promise given to us. Knock and the door will open for you. That is the promise. And Jesus continues today. He says, don't bargain with God. Don't be coy with God around your needs. Be direct. Ask for what you need. Be plain about it. He says, this is not a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in with God. And then Jesus gives a couple of examples of a little boy asking for a fish. And Jesus said, you know, you're not going to give that little boy a snake on his plate. You're not going to scare him with a snake when he asks for something. When that little girl asks for an egg, you're not going to trigger by putting a spider right in front of her. And you, who are consumed by your own self-interest, caught up in the unlove of the world, you can be decent with your own kids. Don't you think the Father who made you, conceived you in love, will give you everything, including His Spirit, if you just ask Him for it? See, God made you in love. I don't know if you believe that or not, but God made you in love. God conceived you in love. God made you for love. God rescued you from the fire of the rage of the world so that you could live for love. God gives you the power to live from love by the gift of the Spirit that lives in us. It's good news. That's the gospel right there. But you got to understand, from the New Testament perspective, God has already solved the big problem of your life, of my life, because He's rescued us from the fire of the rage of the world and all its unlove. He's pulled us out of that rage, and He's put us in a better place with His Spirit. The child has already been blessed. You have been blessed already just by the fact that you're here. And now God is willing to give you and me the power to live from love if we want it. If we don't want it, we don't have to have it. God will give you and me the Holy Spirit if we want it. If we want to live from love, just ask for it. Just ask God for it. It's a free gift that will come to you. You want release from the unlove of the world and everything that comes out of it, just ask God for that gift. It's just waiting for you. Yes, you can have it. See, the whole point of the exercise of life that we are involved in is for us to grow up and become mature agents of God in the world. To grow in maturity. God wants you and me to be responsible, loving, caring, compassionate people in the world. And He's given us the means and the opportunity to do so. God often leaves us with the problems of our lives to solve. Having solved the big problem, God leaves us with the more manageable problems for us to solve. Because this is often the means for our maturing. You can ask God to solve the problem before you. You can ask God to do that. But sometimes God will simply give it back to you and say to you in response, you can handle this. I've already given you the resources to deal with this situation in your life. See, God knows what resources we have and what we don't have. We should always ask, but we should always accept at times the response given back to us. No, daughter, son, you can handle this. You're more than capable of dealing with this. People can get disillusioned in life with God in the same way that Billie Holiday got disillusioned with her parents. I asked God for something, but God didn't give it to me. I prayed for something, but it's not changed. But as I say, God has solved the big problem in our life if we want to claim it for ourselves. At least that's what the Bible claims. And the smaller problems in life, well, often, not always, but often, the resources are available to us to solve them. And when the resources are available to us, God, like any good parent, gives the matter back to us for our own maturing. See, it's important that we stand on our own 2 feet at times. Because let's face it, in life, we often try to take the easy way. At least I do. The painless way. If I can get someone else to do it for me, amazing, wonderful. That's not always the best thing for me. And as I've gotten older in life and I've spent more years in ministry, I've come to realize that there is often no point in trying to help people who have no interest in their own success. The whole point of our assistance is to help people grow into maturity, personally, spiritually, rescuing people from what they can do. It can be hugely disempowering to people. Our responsibility, in a sense, to each other and to the people outside this building is the same as God is to us. We help people with what they cannot do, not what they can do. If someone shows no interest in taking responsibility for circumstances that are within their capacity to solve, anything we do isn't likely to work. Our activity is just a form of enabling, a way of building unhealthy dependency. Helping people with what they can do robs them of the joy of accomplishment. Helping people to do what they can do inappropriately teaches them that they have no control or influence over their circumstances. Teaching people that they lack the resources that they may actually have, helping people to do what they can do, actually encourages people to deny their agency in life, and that is so dangerous. And this is something God is not prepared to do with us. God will not do it for you. God will not do for you what you can do for yourself. God will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Yes, but not what you can do for yourself. Some people call this tough love. I don't know if that's a good description of it. I just know in my own life that when I ask God for something that I think I can't do and God leaves me with it, it often means that I am wrong in my assessment of myself and the resources I have available to me. And one of the strategies I've had with people who come to me for help that I've developed over the years in ministry is to delay my response. Just put a bit of delay between the request and my response. I don't mean that I don't get back to them right away or I don't call back if they've left me a message of some type. I just say, give me a chance to think about this for a bit. And why don't you continue to think about it too? And this is what happens. When I get back to them about it, they often tell me they figured it out. They've solved it. They've solved the problem. It's quite amazing to watch this happen over and over again. See, because people have more resources than they usually imagine they have. They have more internal resources, external resources than they think they do. People are more creative than they give themselves credit for. And sometimes what seems like an intractable problem, an unsolvable problem, an overwhelming problem in the moment, if you give it a bit of space, it often resolves itself. This happens over and over and over again in life, in my experience. And I think God is like that with us. God gives us space to see if we can solve our problems. God gives us the space to draw upon the resources that are available to us, the resources that perhaps God has already given to us. God gives us the opportunity to grow and mature. See, God knows what needs to unfold in our lives. God knows what capacity lies within us. God knows what blessings have already been showered upon us. God knows the riches that we can draw upon. God knows the challenges before you and me completely. See, one of the interesting elements in the song, God Bless the Child, is that We only hear one side of the argument in the lyrics. We have no idea why Billie Holiday's mother said no to her request for a loan. Why did Sadie, her mom, say no to her? Sadie might have had good reasons to say no. She might have had loving reasons to say no. Sadie might have said no to protect her daughter's best interests. There are lots of good reasons for a mom to say no to her child. And a lot of times in life, we don't get to hear God's reasons for why God does something or doesn't do something. Most of the time, we'll never know why God says yes or no to us. We'll never understand God's timing of assistance in our life. We may not even recognize how God actually goes about helping us in the circumstances that we prayed to God for, that we've asked for. We may not understand how God is shaping our future. See, God did rescue you and me from the fire. Do you think that now that we're rescued from the fire, God will simply allow us to fade away under the pressure of life? Do you think God's just going to forget about you now that he's rescued you from the fire? The Son of God went into the burning house and pulled you out of the fire. It cost him his life. There is a love so great for us that we cannot even fathom it for us. And it endured death to save us, to rescue us from the fire. And God is willing to give us the power of love to change the world. That's the gift that's been offered to us today. God has blessed you and me for the sacred task. And if God has held nothing back from us, do you think the current circumstances of life are beyond his power for you? And if he says to you in this moment, in the circumstances you're dealing with today, that you can handle this, that he's already given you what you need to handle this situation, that you've already been endowed with resources sufficient to meet the challenges you're facing in this moment, if God has already given you that blessing and he says you can handle the circumstance that's before you, then it's true. You've been sufficiently resourced. And who are we to argue with God when God tells us we can do it? And now you can bet your bottom dollar in life that when God tells you can handle it, you can handle it.